Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, to worship you and Lord, to observe the Lord's Supper tonight on this evening. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings, your direction. We pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might reflect back on what you've given to us and what you did for us, that we might have eternal life. Bless the message, the service, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight's going to be a little bit different, but the title tonight is The Lord's Supper and the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Supper and the Lord's Passover. I just want to go over two topics. Not just preface it, but I also want to just make mention that if you don't agree with what I'm saying tonight, this is not a make it or break it deal. You're not heretical or doing anything terribly if you call Resurrection Sunday Easter. I do it myself. Okay, so. But I do want to look at the terminology as well, and I do want to see what the Bible has to say instead of what we've been taught and maybe even conditioned to say. I would never choose your battles wisely, somebody has said. This would not be somewhere where I would want to choose to stand and die on this hill, okay? But it is important, I think, because there is Bible to it, that we at least understand what the Word of God is saying. So this is a little bit different, but I do want to approach the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Passover. And what we hear, this is another terminology, you've heard this, communion, right? Communion. Well, where does that come from? Well, do a Google search and you'll be surprised. That term, I would not fault anybody for using that. I have done it myself, observing, you know, taking communion, right? You've heard that, may have used that yourself. Another, which really defined, is the service of Christian worship at which bread and wine are consecrated and shared. Now, that's a Google definition. We don't use wine because it's been fermented, which is the decaying process. We use the fruit of the vine. Jesus very specifically says the fruit of the vine. I'll no more take of the fruit of the vine, signifying specifically that it's not been fermented, because that's why there's no leaven in the bread. Leaven is the decaying process. It's the picture of sin. So is fermentation. It is the picture of sin. It is the decaying process. And there's all kinds of scripture on that, and we can get into that, and maybe at another time we will. But just for the sake of knowing what the Bible says, if you choose to use the word communion, I don't think it's an impardonable sin at all. I don't think it's anything that would be blasphemous. I'm just simply saying I want you to see what the Bible calls it. And you can make your own decision on that. Our salvation is based upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. If we put our faith and trust in that, then we are in good standing with the Lord. Amen? And anyway, that's what's important here, that we consider what the Bible says. So we call it the Lord's Supper. Well, where do we get that terminology? Well, we just read it right there in verse 20. Notice this. It says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat what? The Lord's Supper." Do you see it right there in your Bible? They're right there in verse 20. So this is where we get the name, the Lord's Supper. Now, When the Lord is partaking it and sharing that with his disciples, I don't think he calls it the Lord's Supper. In fact, I think this is probably the only place where it's called the Lord's Supper, but it's never called communion. It's never called, here's another word similar to communion, and that is the Eucharist. You probably heard that. That is not a biblical term. That is a man-made one. Holy Communion is another man-made terminology, and then we have another one called Mass. And this is depicting and talking about taking the bread and the wine that we don't participate in. And so that's fine. I just want you to understand the terminology. I would not try to correct anybody on that. If somebody called it communion to me, I would not say, oh, no, Lord's Supper. I wouldn't do that, okay? I just simply say, okay. I cannot tell you for how many years I called it communion, for how many years, you know, I said Easter. So it's not a hill to die on, right? That's not what we're talking about. Simply just saying this is what the biblical terminology is, and we find here in verse 20 it's called the Lord's Supper. Now, I just want to look at and consider the Lord's Passover, and I want to invite you over to the book of Acts. I want to invite you over to the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 1. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now we're going to deal with the term Easter, and some Bible translations and some Bible commentaries say, well, this is taking the place of the word Passover. But it's not. It's incorrect in that, and you'll see that here in just a moment. But look with me here, and we'll pay special attention to the events and the order that they're taking place here. In verse 1, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Is Herod a friend or a foe of the church? Shall we get any biblical terminology from him? No, of course not. And notice verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days, listen, of unleavened bread. This is a feast. This is a Jewish feast. The Holy Spirit is allowing us to know what event was taking place during this time, and that was the days of unleavened bread. Then notice this in verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So Herod was going to wait till after Easter. Okay, this is not the Passover. I think I have a little footnote also over here that says the Passover. And let me explain to you why. Let me let the Word of God explain to us why Easter is not the Passover. You remember the days of unleavened bread? This was what was taking place when he was apprehended. So you have the days of unleavened bread, and he was waiting to Easter. So we have Easter after the days of unleavened bread. Wouldn't that stand to reason? Does that make sense? I don't want to confuse anybody. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 1. Leviticus, chapter 23, and this is, of course, where the Passover was being taught to the people that were freed, amen, from Egypt. The Hebrew people were given the Passover as a picture of the Lamb of God that was to come, that truly sets us free. They were liberated from Egypt, a picture of the world. And look at verse 1 here in Leviticus chapter 23. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy, or to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So he's getting ready to tell us these feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Then notice this, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. So you have a Sabbath that he just said, which is Saturday, every Saturday. They were not to do any work. That was the day that they were to worship the Lord. And then now you have the seasons of these feasts, and he's getting ready to tell us what they are. He says, verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons, in their times. And this is the first one. Ready? In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's what? All right, so this is the Passover, right? So what day is this? This is the first month, which is April, by the way. Abib is the Hebrew word. But in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And then he says this, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month, so we're still in April, right? This is the next day after the Passover. Notice, is the feast of what? Unleavened bread. Does the Passover come first and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Yes. Did you just see that? It's not unleavened bread and then the Passover. It is the Passover first and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. Then notice this, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So how many days is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? 7 days. It's just telling us right there. In the first day, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And that is on the first day of unleavened bread, which is the day after the 14th, which is the Lord's Passover. Did we just read that? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. You can hold your place here. You can go back and you can read more about that. But I'd like to back you back up over to the book of Acts again, chapter 12, so we can get this all in order and understand that this Easter has nothing to do with the Passover. The Passover has already passed. It's already done. So again, look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of what? Is that before or after Passover? It's after Passover. So Passover has already been completed. Passover is already finished, and we saw that there were 7 days that they were going to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so look at verse 3 again. At the bottom, then were the days of unleavened bread, when Herod was stretching forth his hand to vex the church, when he killed James, and when he took Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, verse 4, and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after when? Does this Easter have anything to do with the Lord's Passover that had already gone by? It's gone. It's already been observed to bring him forth to the people. So please, people, say, Easter's in the Bible, but I want you to know that Easter is not the Lord's Passover. It is a pagan holiday. It really is. Now, again, I do want to say this. I would not even try to educate anybody on that, because more important than Easter, than the word Easter, is salvation. So these are things not really worth arguing over. I don't know how long it's been since I started calling it Resurrection Sunday, but I'd say it's been probably less than a decade, and more so probably in the last probably 7 or so, 8 years, that I just saw it. And all I'm simply doing is saying, I want to acknowledge, it doesn't make me right and it doesn't make anybody else really wrong. All I'm doing is, in doing that, is I am honoring what? The Lord's resurrection and the Lord's Supper, because it's a memorial. What it is, the Lord said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, another thought along those lines, and this is another thing people say, well, how often should you take it? Well, I don't think you ought to take it really every Sunday. I don't think you ought to do that, because then it becomes an idol, and people worship that, and I'm not right unless I do that. No, that's not the case. Once a month. No, I'm going to give you my opinion, and I don't think there's a right and wrong. If a church wanted to observe it once a quarter, I don't think there's a problem with that. Specifically, I would like to follow the Lord's pattern. As often as you do this, I think we ought to do it at least annually, don't you? At least annually. And for what? during this time of the Lord's Passover being fulfilled on the cross of Calvary, the Lamb of God, he was given for our salvation. I think we ought to remember him on Resurrection Sunday. Now, if don't beat yourself up or don't, I don't get upset and I don't even flinch if somebody calls it Easter. I don't cringe. I don't do any of that. I just simply, me personally, it's not us better than anybody else, and we don't need to tell anybody, oh, that's not right. Let me tell you about the word Easter and Passover. We don't even need to get into that. All I wanted was Northwood Baptist Church, because I'm accountable before the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that the Lord's church knows what the Word of God is saying. I don't think it's a make or break thing because I think when people say Easter, I think they're referring to the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with it is, in my thinking, is I just find, you know, deception and the devil getting their foothold on trying to pervert the truth. That's just me personally. I think the better definition is what the Bible calls it, and that's the resurrection. Amen? Listen, Easter, okay, if you're an American, maybe you know what that means, but resurrection is universal. Amen? And there's no, what resurrected? That means something died and rose again. Well, someone was the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again. What's the Passover? Well, that was a picture before the Lord came. And then when it was fulfilled, that's why we move over now to from Saturday after the Lord rose again, worship now is on the first day of the week. Even Paul spoke about that when you get together on the first day of the week. That's Sunday, because the Lord rose when? Sunday. Guess when the Lord, if he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, guess when he was crucified? Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, rose early in the morning, Sunday morning, right? On the first day of the week. So he was crucified on Wednesday. And so here's the whole thing. It's just important for you to know, right? Some people say, why do we meet together on Wednesday night? We call it prayer meetings, and that's why, you know, we do it. We've covenant together. And I don't know where that got started, but I think it's a good thing. I don't think we can get too much of the Lord to get together on Wednesday evening and to get together Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And so tonight, simply just wanting you to understand the biblical terminology for the resurrection and for the observance of the Lord's Supper. It's what the Bible calls it. If somebody called it communion, it wouldn't really bother me. But to me personally, I just want to use the biblical term. I want to be as close as I can to the Word of God and what he is calling it. Again, I would never make a big issue. And by the way, listen, I don't want you to walk on eggshells around me. I hope you don't ever feel that way. I would never think, my goodness, I just taught them what Easter and resurrection. I would never think that. I really wouldn't. Don't apologize if you say it, because I might still say it, all right? And I'm thinking Resurrection Sunday. I might say Easter. I might call it communion, and really, I don't think the Lord is offended by that. But I do think, again, it's important that we know what the Bible calls it and what the Bible says about it, and then we'll go forward from there. All right, so that was a lesson tonight, just to understand the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Passover and the biblical terms that are used and why they're used.